Here we are a few days into the season of Lent, and temptation is all around. The struggle to maintain this holy fast and stay focused on God's voice, God's word, and my growth spiritually have been challenged day in and day out, as I am sure yours has as well. You see, this is truly a wilderness experience that we are going through in our fasting and praying. I had the opportunity to speak at youth breakfast this past week, and it's always fun to hang out with those kiddos in the morning. Well, they're a kid, they're teenagers, youth, grown children, I don't know what you want to call them, but they're fun. I love them. And Jackson loves it too. That's our Thursday morning deal. I got to share with them the story of Jesus in the wilderness and talk a little bit about this season of Lent. And it was Jesus in the wilderness in which what these 40 days of Lent is symbolic of. And it's Jesus in the wilderness is where he was led by the Holy Spirit. In that place was not free of temptation. In fact, we read in the gospel that he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, church, I want to remind you that the devil doesn't quit because it's Lent. The devil doesn't leave us alone when we make that turn toward God. In fact, the devil picks up the devil's game. Right? The devil steps it up a notch and works harder at tempting us and getting us to fall away. And it's in moments like that that we can remember and strengthen ourselves by remembering God's generous heart. You might say, well, that's a strange thing to say in the season of fasting and praying. But as we read about in another wilderness story, we get a glimpse of how God is generous in seasons of fasting and praying. In seasons of wilderness living. Yes, the text of Deuteronomy that we read today sounds like a stewardship text. All right, we've had Stewardship Sunday already. All right, so we're not talking stewardship today. This idea of first fruits and giving back to God what God has entrusted to us. Yes, it is. But more of what we're looking at today is how this text from Deuteronomy is a spelled out liturgy of what to do with those first fruits and how to live in that land and how to remember and recall. Like the rest of the book, this passage is a teaching text for the people on how they are to acknowledge the gift that God has so graciously given to them. And it is to recall and bring to memory for them their history and their story, which is written into the liturgy that we just read. Our stories are important. You see, our stories help us grow and learn. They help us remember what has happened that has led us to this point in time, and they oftentimes can help us through situations down the road that might be challenging for us or difficult. For the Israelites, the call is to remember. It's a call to remember where you have come from and what God has been up to in the midst of their journey. The story recalls for the people themes that we might connect with during this season of Lent. Wilderness, journey, difficulty, sacrifice, memory. And just as this wilderness journey that the Israelites was on was not aimless, for they were moving toward the land of milk and honey that God had promised them, so is our journey not aimless. Because in this season of Lent, before us is the hope of resurrection because of Jesus. So we're in this wilderness. We come to a place where we are called to remember our story. Not to wander aimlessly, but to wander toward the hope of resurrection. But we need to remember God's generosity. And that's what the people are told here. In giving of their first fruit, there is a mandate for them to remember that God has carried them throughout the wilderness. And this is not a one-time event for them. This is not a, when you come in, do this once and don't do it again. It was a repeated thing, and it's a story that they are to remember and repeat over and over again. It's a liturgical response that rehearses the acts of God in the Exodus. The genealogical connection. My father was a wandering Aramean. A story of people without land or a home. How they were immigrants in a land that was not theirs. And the people of the land treated them terribly. Oppressing them. Forcing hard labor on them. And the people cried out to God. And God heard their cry. In the midst of that wilderness of oppression and mistreatment, God heard their cry and brought them forth from that land, blessing them and causing them to grow in number and to flourish. And the liturgy says that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with awesome power and with signs and wonders. They are invited to remember and recall the story of how God heard their voices and promised to them a land full of milk and honey. And this was the liturgy for each time they came to the altar. It was a story of God's generous heart, a story of God's grace and mercy in the midst of the wilderness and the wandering of their lives. In the remembering of that story, they are reminded of the hope that lies ahead. That no matter how tough things might get, God is there. God is present. God is listening. God is moving. So what one writer says, people remembering the mighty acts of God in the past are also encouraged to persevere in hope, even in the midst of present difficulty. To remember God's mighty acts and works in the midst of those difficult moments is to be encouraged to trust in God for the things to come. It's to bring comfort in knowing that the future is secure in God's hands. And it's a story that is good for us as we move through this season of Lent, as we journey to the cross. See, it reminds us of our own history, our own story, as we hear the story of our earliest ancestors in the faith. And we can take comfort as we read how God was at work in the lives of these people and how God was generous. And it invites us to remember and recall our story. Think for a moment about your story. At some point, we've probably been hungry, rootless wanderers, depending upon one another and God for comfort, care, and for our very own survival. Maybe that's the story of someone in your family, and because of that, it's part of our story. It's good to remember where we have been and in the midst of the retelling of that story of how God was generous in calling us by name, pulling us together, and blessing us along the way. We would also do well to remember that as we journey through this wilderness, our journey is not aimless. For there is promised hope for each of us that call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10 is a story of a long history of God's love for Israel, affirming God's faithfulness to them. And it's that same love God has for us, and that is from where this promised hope comes. For God loves us all so much that He sent His Son Jesus, who became human, wandered in a wilderness, fasted and prayed, was tempted and died for each of us. And though He died, He rose again, opening up the gates of heaven to all those who will confess His name. That's our story. That's part of our story that we need to tell and retell and remember in this season of Lent. It is a wilderness experience. It is a time, as Henry Nouwen writes, that we not only prepare ourselves to celebrate the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also the death and resurrection that constantly takes place within us. For the Israelites, the death of a terrible situation that they were living in brought forth new life for them in a land flowing with milk and honey. And the retelling of that story is a reminder of that. Where are the places, church, in our lives where God has brought forth life from death? In remembering that and retelling that, we are telling of God's generous heart at work in our lives. One other thing of beauty in this passage from Deuteronomy. You see, our story includes people all around us, both in this room and in the world. And in verse 11, the instruction for the liturgy states that following all that has taken place, celebrate all the good things the Lord your God has done for you and for your family. Each one of you, along with the Levites and the immigrants who are among you. And a few verses after that, it says, also with the orphans and widows. Celebrate together. Feast together. God's generous heart is open to all people. And it's through us that people experience God's generous heart. Through our telling of God's story in our lives. We see in the end of this passage is that all are fed, all are welcomed, all are gathered together in this story. The people, the Levites, the immigrants, all the people are gathered together. One writer says, this is the promised land. This is heaven come to earth. This is remembrance with an emphatic purpose. When we are able to recall our own vulnerability, our own desert wanderings, then we are more apt to include those on the margins who know too little of joy, too little of compassion, and far too little of kindness. When we remember, powerful things happen. Our hearts as well as our tables become more open and more generous. And before we know, our hearts and tables begin to look more like God's heart and Christ's table. When we tell our story, we are telling the story of God's generous heart in mighty acts of salvation in our lives. It's a story of how we trust with our hearts in God, in God's grace, in God's love, in God's saving power through the resurrected Jesus. It's a story that those of us who call on the name of the Lord must share. It's a story that we must share with those we meet on the highways and the byways of life. It's to tell the world the stories of Jesus. And to tell the world the stories of God's generous heart. What's your story? What's your story of God's generous heart at work in your life? Make that a liturgy for your life this season. A practice of retelling that story every morning when your feet hit the floor of how God has been generous in your life. Looking out for you, bringing you from the desert wanderings. Share with all that you need. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.